Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the SMU Second Quarter 2019 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Carolyn McKenzie, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us today. I'm here with Arturo Silva, our CFO. I will briefly describe SMU's results for the first half and second quarter of 2019, and then Arturo will be happy to take your questions. If anyone isn't using the webcast to follow the slides, we'll be going through the presentation that I sent out to the distribution list this morning. It is also available in the investor relations section of our website, www.smu.cl, in the financial information section. An audio recording of this call will be available on our website later today. Also, please note that we may be making forward-looking statements today. Just a reminder to please take a look at the caution regarding forward-looking statements on slide number two of our presentation. On slide three, we have a note about the effects of IFRS 16 on our 2019 numbers. We described this in detail on the first quarter, so in the interest of time, I'll just quickly summarize. This is a new accounting rule that affects how lessees account for lease contracts, and since we lease practically all of our stores, this rule has a significant impact on our financial statements, although it does not have an economic or cash impact. The application of IFRS 16 means that many line items in our financial statements cannot be compared year-over-year. However, in our earnings release, we provided pro forma figures to help analyze our performance, and we've also included those numbers in this presentation where relevant. Feel free to contact me afterwards if you have any questions. On slide four, we have a note about how the sale of our Construmart subsidiary in April of last year affects the comparison of our 2019 numbers with our 2018 numbers. With regard to the presentation of Construmart, all of the information in our June 2019 financial statements is comparable with the prior year figures because Construmart is presented as discontinued operations in both periods. In this presentation, all historical figures are comparable because for periods prior to 2017, excuse me, we are using revenue, OpEx, and EBITDA for the food retail segment only. In 2017, 2018, and 2019, we only have the food retail segment. That's all for the more administrative matters. On slide number five, we have our revenue, which increased by 0.6% in both the first half of this year and the second quarter. The formats that had the strongest revenue performance this quarter were Peru, OK Market, and the cash and carry segments. Gross margin increased from 28.5% in the first half of 2018 to 29.3% in the first half of 2019, reflecting higher commercial efficiency. The second quarter figures are the same, an increase of 80 basis points from 28.5% to 29.3%. On slide six, we have a breakdown of revenue growth by format, comparing the first half of 2018 to the first half of 2019. Peru had revenue growth of 20.1%, measured in Chilean pesos, and 10.2% measured in local currency. OK Market had revenue growth of 5.7%, and cash and carry grew 2.5%, offsetting the lower revenue in Unimarc and Telemercados. On slide seven, we have same-store sales and sales per square meter. Same-store sales performance tracked revenue performance, with the best results again coming from Peru, OK Market, and cash and carry. Sales per square meter grew 5.4% in the half, and part of that is due to the fact that we have been optimizing selling space in some of our stores. Also, some stores have had their selling space modified during the remodeling process. On the next slide, we have operating expenses defined as distribution costs plus administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. Administrative expenses are affected by the application of IFRS 16 because for the first half of the year, lease expenses are 18.6 billion pesos lower under IFRS 16 than they would have been under IAS 17, which was the previous standard. In the graphs, we've presented operating expenses for 2019 both ways. First is the pro forma version, which is comparable to the historical figures. On a comparable basis, operating expenses increased 3.7% in the first half of the year and 4.3% in the second quarter of the year. Most of the increase is explained by personnel expenses, and that is mainly due to the increase in the minimum wage. Average headcount remained relatively flat year over year. To a lesser extent, we also had increases in lease expenses, excluding IFRS 16, and distribution expenses. The final bar of the graph, with the white and gray stripes, shows OPEX for 2019 as it was presented in our financial statements under IFRS 16. As you can see, under the new rule, OPEX fell with respect to 2018, and that is because of the change in accounting treatment for lease expenses. On slide 9, we have a few of our operating indicators. Our rate of centralized distribution was 46.3% for the first half of this year. That is the percentage of revenue that comes from products that went through our distribution centers, as opposed to being delivered directly by suppliers to our stores. That number is lower than the 2018 figure, but this is because of product mix. As I mentioned on the previous slide, headcount remained stable with respect to the same period of last year, and sales per full-time equivalent, which we look at to measure productivity, have been consistently increasing over the last several periods. On slide 10, we have our EBITDA, which, excluding the effects of IFRS 16, grew 2.3% in the first half of this year and 1% in the second quarter. Our EBITDA margin increased 10 basis points in the first half, from 6.2% to 6.3%, reflecting the gross margin expansion, partly offset by the increase in OPEX as a percentage of revenue. EBITDA margin was 5.9% in the second quarter of 2019, the same as the second quarter of 2018. Just like on the previous slide, in the graph here, we have presented EBITDA as it would have been calculated under the previous accounting rule, IAS 17, which is comparable to the historical figures, and we have also provided the official IFRS 16 figure, which is not comparable. IFRS 16 has a positive impact on EBITDA because of the lower lease expenses. On the next slide, we have an explanation of our non-operating results to explain the difference between our non-operating loss of 51.1 billion pesos for the first half of last year and our non-operating loss of 32.1 billion pesos in the first half of this year. Last year, we recognized non-recurring financial expenses of approximately 12 billion pesos relating to the prepayment of our international bond. Recurring financial expenses for the first half fell by 3.4 billion pesos as a result of all of our efforts to reduce debt and strengthen our capital structure. And finally, on financial expenses, in the first half of 2019, we have around 4.1 billion pesos of extra financial expenses related to the application of IFRS 16. As part of our efforts to improve operating efficiency, we carried out an organizational restructuring program in January of last year, and this year we carried out a second stage of the program, the effects of which will be reflected during the third quarter. But in June, we recognized the cost of the plan. Year over year, the related expenses decreased by 4.4 billion pesos. Another non-operating impact relates to our inflation index liabilities, where we had a lower loss of 2.6 billion pesos, despite the fact that total inflation in the first half of 2019 was similar to the first half of 2018, although in 2019 it was concentrated in the second quarter, and our total base of inflation index liabilities was significantly higher due to the increase in debt associated with IFRS 16 in 2019. The reason for the decrease in the loss is because, under IFRS 16, inflation adjustments to financial liabilities classified as obligations for rights of use are recognized as assets under rights of use, and they are depreciated over the remainder of the contract. On slide 12, we have net income, which, excluding the effects of IFRS 16, increased 1.3% in the first half and decreased significantly in the second quarter. The most relevant impact here is a gain on income taxes in the second quarter of last year related to the sale of Konstrumart. This gain amounted to approximately 16 billion pesos. Even though pre-tax income in the second quarter of 2019 was higher than in the second quarter of 2018, we didn't have the extra 16 billion in 2019. So year over year, the comparison is negative. You can see on the slide where we break down the change in net income. And in the second quarter, there's a decrease of 8.6 billion, and the overall decrease in the income tax benefit is 11.9 billion. Excluding the sale of Konstrumart in 2018, we would have seen an increase in net income year over year. The total impact of IFRS 16 on the bottom line is negative 1.1 billion pesos for the first half. This is the sum of the lower lease expenses, higher depreciation, higher interest expense, and lower loss on inflation-indexed assets and liabilities. On the next slide, we have an update on our financial debt. As you can see on the graph, our ratio of net debt to EBITDA, excluding the effects of IFRS 16, has increased slightly from 3.8 times in December to 4 times in June. The increase is basically due to new lease contracts we have signed during the first half of the year, totaling approximately 30 billion pesos. Including the effects of IFRS 16, the ratio is higher, 5 times, because as of June 30th, we have the full effect of the new debt we recognize under the new rule, around 250 billion pesos, but our last 12 months EBITDA only includes 6 months of the new and improved IFRS 16 EBITDA. Once we have a full year of IFRS 16 EBITDA in the denominator, the ratio will still be higher than it used to be, but it will be lower than it is today. In June, we issued a local bond for 1 million UF, or around 28 billion pesos. The proceeds of this bond were used to refinance a part of the syndicated loan that matured on June 30th. The total payment of the syndicated loan was around 45 billion pesos. The difference was financed using cash from operations. However, that payment was not reflected in our June financial statements because June 30th was a Sunday, so we made the payment on July 1st. This is why the 2019 bank debt is still reflected in our maturity profile below, as well as the new bond, which matures in 2040. As we explained when we released our first quarter earnings, our financial debt contracts that contain covenants also contain clauses that allow for changes in covenants when there are changes in accounting rules, so that the original spirit of the covenant can be maintained. Therefore, the covenant limiting the ratio of net financial liabilities to shareholders' equity has been modified from 1.3 times to 1.66 times. This covenant applies to our local bonds and goes into effect for the financial statements as of December 2019. On slide 14, we have summarized some of our recent highlights. With respect to our operations and Plan SEMA, we continue to move forward with our Unimark store upgrade plan. Most of the re-inaugurations of the remodeled stores will be concentrated in the final part of this year. So far this year, we have opened 4 new OK Market stores, and we have 5 more that are set to open during the third and fourth quarters. We also have 3 Unimark openings, including one scheduled for next week. Another important part of our customer experience initiative is our loyalty program. Between March and April, we had our second Gran Cuponazo, which is a promotional campaign that offers personalized discounts to our customers. We were very pleased with the results of this campaign, and we see opportunities to continue adding value by truly understanding the needs of our customers. With respect to operating efficiency, this year we have made a lot of progress in our supply chain expansion. We have been operating a new distribution center for imported products since May of this year, and in July, we started operations at our new distribution center in Coquimbo in the north of Chile. We have also added cold storage capacity to our Alvi distribution center, and that has been operational since the beginning of this month. These initiatives are important to ensure we are able to continue growing our centralized distribution in order to maximize in-store product availability. From a non-operating standpoint, we are happy to report that in June, the local rating agency, ICR, upgraded SMU from BBB plus to A minus with a positive outlook. As we reported last quarter, at the end of April, Bella Rate had upgraded our credit rating by 2 notches from BBB to A minus. So we now have 2 A minus ratings. We also received an upgrade from Humphreys, from BBB to BBB plus. As I mentioned on the previous slide, in June we issued bonds in the local market. The amount of the transaction was 1 million UF, or approximately 28 billion pesos, at a placement rate of 2.06%. These bonds, the W series, have an annual coupon rate of 2.5% and a bullet structure maturing in 21 years, 2040. This transaction was in line with our strategy to continue strengthening our financial position through savings on interest expense and optimization of our debt maturity schedule. That's it for our presentation. Thank you very much for listening. If there are any questions, Arturo will be happy to take them now.
Thank you. We'll now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then 1 on your telephone keypad. You'll hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then 2. Once again, to join the question queue, please press star, then 1 now. Our first question comes from Alonso Aramburu of BTG.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. A couple of questions. The first one on just on same-store sales at Unimark. This is the second quarter that you have a slightly negative same-store sales growth. Can you comment a little bit on your expectations on whether you expect this to be on the positive side in the second half of the year, and what is the company doing to improve the same-store sales? And regarding your net debt to EBITDA, which was slightly higher this quarter, what are your expectations for the end of the year in terms of net debt to EBITDA, excluding IFRS? Thank you.
Hi, Alonso. First question about same-store sale. Of course, the same-store sale for Unimar is weak in comparison with previous year. But anyway, in the second quarter, improved a little bit, not too much. But compensated for the increase in the same-store sale of our cash and carry segment, or wholesale segment. We're expecting a little bit improvement in the Unimar same-store sale in the next month because we're seeing the improvement in the food inflation index. In fact, in the last 2 or 3 months, the food inflation has been 2.6-2.7% 12 years, and in the first quarter was until May was lower than 2%. Therefore, we are expecting improvement for this reason, and also in the end of the year, the idea is to include more remodeling of our plan, improving our sales in Unimar as well. But no doubt, the market is weak in terms of the consumption, in terms of the growth. Unimar is not exception. But we are seeing good performance in the cash and carry and convenience segment or format, compensating, and also Peru compensating the weak behavior in the Unimar sales. But our expectation that the end of the third quarter and Q4 improve the performance in Unimar as well. In terms of the leverage or net debt over EBITDA increase a little bit, as you comment, essentially because we include some 2 or 3 new contracts related with our new CDs as carrying costs in Coquimbo, Alvi, and also in import distribution center. The increasing a little bit the index. In the second half of the year, the cash of the company is better. In general, in December is better because we have a concentration of sales in the last quarter, and should be a little bit better, but not too much. We're expecting to close the year in the level of 3.8 or something like this times.
Great, thank you. Maybe a third question. You mentioned in the last call that you were working on the new online platform. Do you have an update on that? On when would that be launched, the unimarket.cl?
Yeah, the idea is to have two stores in the first week of November. And with the idea to analyze the numbers and to do the rollout in 2020, considering more store, we are including delivery from distribution center and also from stores in this pilot in these two pilot in November 2018.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one now. This concludes the question and answer session. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Ms. McKenzie for any closing remarks.
Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us. Have a great day, and we hope you'll join us next quarter. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.